Richard Weisbord spends a lot of time pondering how to bring out the best in young people and how to stimulate their emotional and moral development. He's the founder of an inner-city school in Boston, a faculty member at Harvard's School of Education and School of Government, a family counselor, and a father. And he sees the tough road many youths are on.
I worry about kids who don't have empathy. I worry about kids who become narcissistic. And I'm not talking about most kids, but I'm talking about a large number of kids, enough kids to be really concerned about. And, you know, I was very aware of this when my kids were growing up, that I was part of this culture of parenting, and that, you know, there are many subtle ways in which I think I privilege my kids' happiness and self-esteem over their morality. I didn't require them to return phone calls from friends. I let them write off kids they found annoying. I didn't make them reach out to a friendless kid on the playground. You know, I think in all these ways, in all these subtle day-to-day ways, we can prioritize our kids' happiness over morality. And we end up, you know, with kids who are less moral, but I think ironically we also end up with kids who are less happy, that all this attention to our kids' needs isn't making them happier either.
Weisbord is author of The Parents We Mean to Be, which explores how well-intentioned adults sometimes inadvertently undercut the healthy development of children. In particular, he critiques the modern movement to bolster a child's self-esteem, which, says Weisbord, can elevate a young person's happiness over traits that may actually matter more.
I think that we just basically have it backward. I think we have this idea that if you have self-esteem, you're going to be more caring and you're going to have better relationships and you're going to be more productive at work. But I think in reality, the reverse is more likely to be true. That if you help kids become caring and tuned into other people, they're going to have better relationships. They're going to be better friends. They're going to be better parents. They're going to be better grandparents. And those good relationships are the most durable, powerful source of real self-esteem that we have. If you help kids to be self-reflective, if you help them to be competent, if you help them to be diligent, if you help them to deal with frustration, they're going to be productive at work. They're going to get real outcomes, and that's going to build self-esteem. So it's not that self-esteem is a cause of morality or that self-esteem is a cause of academic achievement. It's that academic achievement, real academic achievement, and real morality and real caring can be a really important and durable cause of self-esteem.
It may be that the popular goal of enhancing a child's self-esteem is not very well defined. The social conditions in which too many children grow up can distort a young person's view of what a healthy life might look like. And Weisbord believes we do need to find ways that provide better support for kids who turn to self-destructive behavior. But the answer, he says, is not to build confidence in a way that can lead children to become self-centered.
Where I sort of land on this is that the goal of our child raising should be maturity. And if you think about maturity as the ability to manage destructive feelings, as the ability to be self-reflective, as the ability to take feedback and actually change as a result of that feedback, as the ability to take other people's perspectives and appreciate other perspectives and coordinate your perspective with other people, as the capacity to take a third-person perspective, to be able to step outside of a relationship and to really understand what's going on inside it. You know, those kinds of abilities to take a kind of helicopter view of what's going on in your relationships and to understand them and understand them when they go wrong, too, and how to set them right. I think those are the capacities, actually, that are really strong basis for long-term happiness and self-esteem. And I think those are the capacities that are also a strong basis for caring and responsibility and virtue and morality.
How much do you think factors like peer pressure and some of the coarser side of our crass popular culture influence the emotional and the moral development of young people?
Well, I'm very concerned about it. I think peer culture and media culture, certainly media culture, can have all kinds of negative influences on kids. But I will say this. I do think there's also a tendency for adults to blame peer culture and to blame the media. And then again, I'm not saying there's not reason to be concerned and to let themselves off the hook. And peer groups can be can do significant damage to kids. I mean, peer groups can be destructive. I don't think they're the primary root of our kids' moral problems today.
What do you think are?
Parents. I think it's, and parents in this sense, I think it's parents who are themselves not modeling moral behavior, who themselves are immature in some way, and parents who are, and this is related, parents who, as we were talking about earlier, are so focused on their kids' happiness and self-esteem and achievements and not really focused on their kids' character in the same way.
And you think that just sort of creates an atmosphere of narcissism?
I think it creates kids who become very concerned with their happiness and achievement and not really concerned, as concerned with caring for others. And I don't want to cartoon kids or parents out there. There are a lot of great parents out there. There are a lot of great kids out there, too. But this is the trend that I am worried about.